Hey guys, it's Casual Friday. That means it's Medium Nancy Matt's Friday, and tonight we're going to have a roundtable discussion about the psychic world and the paranormal. We'll be right back. Grab your popcorn and snacks, find a comfy spot, take a seat or lie down, and let me transport you to a place of fantasy, ghost stories, ancient legends, odd creatures, alien encounters, and other magical topics. You may even decide to join the conversation. From faraway lands to your own backyard, with a small dash of pixie dust, turn out the lights and open your minds. The journey is about to begin. Good happy Friday, everybody. How's everybody doing? Let me push my buttons here. Make sure I'm pushing the right buttons, because that would suck. Hang on a second. Yeah, that one. Okay. What's it mean? Yes. Okay, got the right one. StreamYard has made a lot of changes to their site, so I'm just getting to where I understand them, even though, yeah, we're going to be leaving StreamYard. My name is Charlotte. I'm going to be your host for the next hour, I hope, the way things are going today. I'm also the owner of the... There we go. California Haunts Paranormal Investigation Team based out of Sacramento. If you have a paranormal problem, please feel free to Google us and find us on the web, where you can find us on Facebook and just about all the social media places. Contact me and call me, and we will start a dialogue about it. And yeah, and we'll get out to see you. The team will get out there. All over Northern California and Southern. Okay, that being said, if you're watching from Facebook, please hit that follow button if you haven't done so already. And please give me a thumbs up. Talk to your friends in the chat room. Come on in the chat room. Don't be shy. Don't be lurking out there. Same thing with YouTube. There's 1,000 videos over there, and almost every paranormal topic you can wrap your head around is over there. Okay, cryptid, you name it. But I'm still looking for subscribers. So if you can find it in your heart, you like what you see tonight, and you would like to subscribe, please do so. I'd really appreciate it. And again, leave us a thumbs up. Leave us a happy face. Okay, that would be terrific if you did that. Same thing with Twitch. All right. Okay, that's dead. Almost didn't make the show tonight. I almost canceled. Excuse me. I almost canceled tonight. If you remember last Thursday night, I had computer issues. And I thought I had fixed them. Everything went well all week. Yesterday, I came in here and the computer was losing power yet again. So I turned around and was able to get it going. Okay, so I had it going perfectly. I worked till 3 or 4 a.m. today. There was no problem with it. Came in, you know, two hours before the show, and there was 95% on my laptop where it hadn't charged or anything overnight like it should have. So that sent me into a frenzy trying to figure out why. You know, is it the battery? Is it the power brick that I have? You know, what's going on with that? And I think I found a solution to it. I'm not positive, but it's not the solution I would have really wanted. But I have a backup laptop over there that I can't access because the codes are weird for the internet. So I'm going to get new internet that'll fix it. But I ended up plugging this one in to the one the plug-in where the air conditioner is. And I think what it amounts to is the plug thingy I have over here. It's overwhelmed. Not to the point where it's going to catch fire or anything, but there's just not enough power to go around. And so I think that's what the issue is. I think. Otherwise, I'll probably need either a new power brick for the laptop or a battery. But at least I got it up and running. We'll see how it goes overnight. I have a lot to do on it. Call Halloween coming. Quick announcement, speaking of Halloween, too, is that I'm going to be kind of off for a couple days next week. I'm taking some time off. You know, I haven't had 2 or 3 days in a row off, or 4 days in a row off, since I went to Disneyland a year and a half ago. And so I'm going to be doing that. So we're going to have a couple of best of, maybe Monday and Wednesday will be California Haunts best ofs. And then Tuesday and Thursday I'll be doing regular show here. And then, of course, Nancy will be here Friday. So I'm just going to take a little time off in between all this. And also, if you want your tarot cards read, you want to see what's going on in your past, present, future and all that, hit me up. I got a really good deal on readings. And I also read the Celtic Cross. Different types of cards. So if you're interested in that, hit me up. Or if you have a TikTok account, 10:30 tonight, I will be over there. 10:30 tonight, Pacific. I'll be over there doing readings. So hit me up. I did not do readings last night because I got done too late in here because I had a bunch of stuff going on. for an upcoming project. So, yeah, I didn't get a chance. Okay, that all being said, I'm going to shut up now. I've been yakking too long. And I do not have... The reason why the title to this show changed was I do not have the soundbite. I did not have time to do it. In fact, that's what I came in at 4 p.m. to do, was to put the soundbite together for you guys, and I do not have it because I was working... In fact, I just got done working with the computer. Spider. Whoa! Happy Halloween. I just got done working with the computer around 6:15. Because that intro I shot that at 6:10. So I just got done working, you know, getting this thing working and get going. So I did not have time to process that. I promise next week I'll have it for you. Okay? But see, I can talk about it a little bit. We'll bring Nancy in. We'll talk about what happened, what was going on that day. And then we'll start from there. You know, Nancy and I, we can sit here and talk for hours about everything paranormal. I mean, it's not a big deal. So, I mean, but I almost didn't even have the intro for the show, the way things were going. So anyway, welcome. I hope we can put on a good show for you, kind of make it up to you a little bit. But hopefully I found the problem with the laptop. I hope that's what it is. Otherwise, I'm going to have to order. And I don't know if the power brick is out, so it could be the power brick or the battery. So I may end up ordering both. So there you have it. Okay. You know, so far, one more thing. So far with this laptop, I've had it like 3 years. It's performing above and beyond its capabilities because it wasn't designed for this. The other one that's not working right, that was designed for this stuff. That was designed for auto and audio and all that. But this one was not designed for that. So this one has performed above and beyond the Call of Duty, so I can't complain when something goes wrong. All right, let me bring Nancy in, and we'll talk about my little sound clip, and that'll kind of wet your whistle for Friday, okay? Here we go. Can't hear you. Reset yourself, I can't hear you. No audio. It's going to be one of those nights, you can tell, obviously. Yeah, I can't hear you.
Okay.
There you are. Yeah.
That's really odd. Yeah, I've been using these earbuds all day and could hear fine. It just wasn't, you could hear me.
You would think that mercury is in... You would think the mercury... Huh? Okay.
My turn?
Sounds doing weird stuff tonight.
Why don't you tell people where to find you tonight at 10:30?
Yes, I will be on TikTok and Southern California Haunts. When you want TikTok and you just Google it, it'll be California Haunts, just straight California Haunts, and you can find me at 10:30. So,
yeah, she's got quite a deal.
Yeah, you think Mercury retrograde would be like permanently on my head the way the last 2 weeks have gone? And today, man, I was in a panic because I have the other backup, can't get into it. You know, I wondered if the two batteries would fit, but I don't even know where the battery is for this one, you know, to install, to put a new battery in. So we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes the next couple of days. Anyway, so last week we had the same issue. Only last week I figured out what it was. It was a simple issue. The main cord coming out of the laptop was unplugged out of the brick, the charging brick. And so I fixed it. And while I was doing that, when I went back to listen to the confusing parts of the show, because, you know, there was a lot of it with Nancy talking and then I was having fits in the back trying to figure out what the hell was going on. There was a male voice that kept coming in underneath. And they weren't really clear EVPs. I mean, but you knew he was there, that somebody was commenting on what was going on. So if you remember last week when I switched to my iPhone, I told Nancy, I said, oh, I think I know what it is. I'm going to go down and see. And that's when I split off. To look down to see what was going on. At that moment, when I saw what was wrong, this male voice comes on and clearly says, that's the problem. So it's a really clear EVP. The only issue with it is Nancy's kind of talking over me, but at the very end, you can hear the word problem. Really clear. And it shocked me because I went back through all that video to take all that audio and take all that crap off, you know, for the RSS feed. And there it was, as plain as day. And so I'm sorry.
You were cleaning it up.
I was cleaning it up, and then I came across several EVPs on there of a male voice. I know who it is. I'm not going to go public with the name because it's a family member, and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to upset anybody because in this particular part of the family, they I don't think they'd be too thrilled about it. So it was a very close family member of mine that came up on there. But, I mean, that was the mess Friday. But I wanted to share that with you guys so badly and just didn't have the time to put it together. You think, you know, the computer's running.
Have it, huh? We don't have it to have them.
I do not have it because I have to, when I do those on this format, I can either do a share file, which is more of a hassle, especially with two of us on, or what I can do is take the audio and put it into my Corel video editor.
Oh, I see. That's and a shame.
It would come up with words on there, and then you could hear the audio. So it's unfortunate. I was really upset. I was more upset over the fact that the computer wasn't charging, because I would have had to do this on my cell phone tonight. I almost canceled the show, but I figured it out. So, yeah, so this is why, if you notice, the title of the show changed. You know, it's just like, Nancy and I are going to do what we do best and talk about psychic stuff and the paranormal. That's what we do, you know. So,
well, you did give me time to type something up. So,
yeah, so she does have something. So yeah. And I knew that. So, yeah, unfortunately, it just didn't happen. I guess everything I touched the electronic is going to turn to crap. That's what's going to happen lately. I go through stages like that.
You don't need...
I don't need that, but that's what's going on. I don't need that on the universe, but that's what's going on. You know?
This is a family show, so we shouldn't be using strong words sometimes.
We don't want to get slapped down by the internet police.
And we have to... And I've noticed on all YouTubes, you can't use certain words.
The other thing I noticed, and I want to share this with you, I have an account at Rumble, you guys, under California Haunts Radio, over at Rumble. And their computers and whatever their master computer is so slick. Because what it does is when you submit a video, it scans your video, the audio on the video right away. And then that will tell them whether or not they're going to allow you to upload the video, depending on what the topic is. This has happened a couple of times. That's because every video you put over there gets monetized. So they want to make sure that their advertisers are going to be, you know, one with the video. So that's like last night's show when I was talking about just the haunted locations and some of my background, that one did not upload at all last night. So whatever the topic was, they did not like it, you know. So I kind of caught on to that. But Rumble is a great place. You guys want to go check out Rumble? And if you help me out over Rumble, I'll be your best friend. Okay?
Are we staying where we are? Then we're not moving over.
We're not moving over. We're staying where we're at. But I just want to put the Rumble account out there because we're averaging about 30 views a day. So we're good. So people are starting to notice us more over there.
Rumble.
But the key is I have to have subscribers because I have to have, I think it's 20. I'll just double check that. But just I need to have subscribers so that I can get a dedicated web address over there. You know, so people can just go over there. So I have to build up. And I don't think I need 1,000 subscribers. I think it's way lower than that. I think I need like 15 in order to get the web address. So if you guys could find it in your heart to go over to Rumble and just put California Haunts Radio in there and poof, it'll pop right up. Mm-hmm. You can just subscribe. It's the same stuff we're doing here except, you know, it's just over there. I like Rumble. It's nice and clean looking. Okay. Anyway, paranormal topics. That's why I changed it because obviously... what would you like to talk about, Nancy? You have the floor. Let's do this.
Okay. Do me a favor. I'm not sure how loud I am, but I've gone back while you were talking and turned my volume down. You seem particularly of a higher volume. Are you? Where is that?
I'm running that because I had trouble with StreamYard this last few months since I've had the air conditioner on.
Okay.
And so what it does is it makes my volume lower, way lower than yours. So that's
really?
Why I'm running high volume. It's not balancing it correctly.
No, it's not. But anyway, I hope they can hear me.
You wrote me
a note on what you wanted to talk about tonight. And so this afternoon, and I titled today's talk as MP3s, which you just talked about. But I'm focusing on that and damaged bodies after death and how to deal with that topic. And you mentioned that stuff that you want to talk about tonight. So I put some thoughts together. I didn't have any time. And I usually don't Google the topic. Most of the time, you people will be listening to the stories I can remember off the top of my head. And I have literally, I can't exaggerate on this, 25 years worth of at least 25, maybe 30 years of recordings, up to cassettes, up to 2011. And it just boggles your mind to think that I've kept hard copies of all the digital since 2011, let alone the cassettes. And I promise, and this is something that Char and I will talk about, how to balance, because I will be putting these out, and it's not going to conflict with her show. It's just the sessions of what I talk about and extraordinary things. So sometimes these stories sound familiar. There are some that won't be tonight, But just flow with it because it's the idea of the conversation that we're having. So I've typed up 6 pages worth of the recovery. And Shar, of course, always has the, she already mentioned the EVP that she got. So we're going to just talk about the EVPs, our electronic voice captured on magnetic tape and digital. Digital is less flawed, and they came out very strong about 2010 and 11. And so ghost investigation groups have all this very high, I just love it. I'm a geeky from my engineering years and anything to do with electronics. And I have my tech guy in Texas and Char and I capturing all kinds of wonderful things on film and digital. And every time we capture something, I'll not forget, just 2 weeks ago, I'm going to talk about photographs. She and I were talking about, I was sending her some materials through the mail. And we were talking about it, and she started yelling at me. She says, behind you, behind you. And, of course, when you're in first person like this, she wanted me to turn around and see the ghost that was manifesting right behind me. And I'm going, are you kidding me? And, of course, that would be only that far. I can't see. Of course, it's only about that far
right
behind me. And I says, it's a little close for me to see. Oh, hello, everybody in the chat room. Hello, sweetie.
Well, you know what, too, with the... Is I wanted to get a screenshot of it really badly before, because you know if Nancy moved or something it could spook it. Well, a little spook. You know, it could spook it and
I
it
caught disappear. That.
So I was getting Nancy because I thought, oh my god, don't move. I gotta get the screenshot. I gotta get the screenshot.
You know, I do this for a living and I see spirit people all the time, especially during sessions, it just pops up. And yet for me, first person, you turn right around, and of course, I want to see who it is. I don't know how I do this, everybody. I just am a reporter, just as Shara's reporter. I call myself an investigative reporter, also a newspaper reporter. I report the news and the visions. And so when it's too close to me, and when I got the picture and looked at it, it looked like a gentleman bending down, looking at the screen of her talking to me. And I got such a sense of curiosity. I don't know if it's a gentleman that Larry and I see all the time here at the house. In fact, Larry has seen him walking and inviting him one night. He's in there watching every cop show, every fight, every Western, every golf. And so the gentleman sits down. And one night, and I shared this already with you, Larry said to me, I wonder if I offer him a drink. And I go, oh, of course. And he put a drink at the end of the couch. And he did say he saw him sit down, which it kind of surprised me because you wouldn't think they have both. But this gentleman is so entrenched in living with us that I think he is still living in his time, but he knows my husband. And they must have been similar personalities because it seems to be friendship. So I suspect that was who was behind me because this gentleman was very tall and lean. And the gentleman, the gentleman was a taller, leaner man, and he had to really, you could see him squinch down and bend over to try to get into a visual of what we were doing. And I just thought, I wish everybody could have seen my expression. Everybody was looking at her. We got you, got my hands, and I think it's wonderful, but I really want to get on. I have so many pages here to talk about. I've known about cassette tapes in the early 90s. I think it was 92, 93. When I started May 4th, 1990, my first client was within a month. And it was really difficult because it was the suicide of her son. And so that's kind of like a hard way to start this. But I didn't have recordings at the time that I can remember. But within 6 months, I was making recordings. And vaguely, like I'm going to have to look at those first. I remember getting EVPs, but I wasn't looking at capturing anything. But I remember them being, and I think I have at least two that I can remember, so I will look for them, because this is the interest now. Electronic tapes like these, I don't think they're as good as the digital, but it still happens. And so I will try to find those, and one of these days we'll play them. I hope they're good after all these years. And unfortunately, all the moves that I've been through. But the movie, so of course, there's movies with this in it, and there's ghost investigative groups. I don't know when they started, the TV series. I don't think it was until the 2015, the teens of 2010. So, Sharon, do you remember when the Ghostbusters and some of these ghost haunts, when did they start on TV?
Probably around, because you had In Search Of, and you also had, believe it or not, you had those other shows ahead of it. But I would say the first investigation we did was just when Ghost Hunters was coming out. So that would have been around 2008, 2009.
Wow, that's a little sooner. And I don't remember how we or they would capture voice phenomena. But I do remember that 2011, I was doing an event in Phoenix. And the gentleman sitting next to me, a psychic reader, was using digital. And I was still holding on to cassettes. He says, "What are you doing, honey? You're way out of sync." And I was so grateful. I stayed friends with him at least 10 years. But I want to go back to have you look a movie up and see what we're speaking to if you're new. If those of you who have not heard me talk or not heard the topic before, yes, some of it I repeated. And I want you to know, just listen and enjoy. And maybe you've heard some of this, but it's for people who have not heard me. The movie The Sixth Sense is about a little boy who sees ghosties. And when I protect myself, I don't see them. But unfortunately, if I'm not careful, I will see them. And it's not necessarily what I want to do. And I want to say there are people who see them more clearly than I do. But they can't impress upon me even when they walk by me. I'll go, in fact, like today I had an experience walking into Walmart, and I remember thinking, I know these people have had this happen, I almost remember thinking I wasn't walking by myself or that somebody else was too close. Have you been somewhere, and not a group or crowd, but somewhere with a partner or friend, and they get into what I call our space, like a little too close, and you kind of move over a little bit? It's kind of like we have a special our personal space, I call it. And so what happens is they get into that space of your energetic energy that surrounds us. Well, spirit people will do that to me, and I go, whoa, okay, somebody's with me. And I think back to today, which is easy for me to do, I know it sounds crazy. I go back and I think it was the man that was standing next to me to make sure I was aware that someone was with me. And it happens a lot. Do I get wound up with life and get busy? Absolutely. Do I want to know they're around me? I wish I had nothing else to do but acknowledge them. But I can't. My husband moved down first. I was selling a house up very, very northern California. It took a year and a half to sell it. I wish not to happen to anybody, but he was down here for health issues. And when I came down to visit often, he drove me around town to kind of get me into, oh, this is Oroville, this is the dam, this is the fish factory, there's a cemetery. We have three of them here. And I said, "What are you doing driving me all over the cemetery?" He says, "I thought you would want to know." And I says, "Well, there's ghosties in there. I don't want them to see me." And if I lock eyes on somebody, guess what? I get to take them home. So everybody, I did take a few days off a month ago. My granddaughter is going to the Boston University, and my daughter and her daughter, my granddaughter's 35, we all went to Boston. And going to Boston Commons, and sorry, I've got to send those pictures to you of the surrounding, or did I? I think I did, the cemetery. I looked up and I saw a little girl, a young girl, I would say 13 to 15 years old, probably closer to 15. She was more of a lady build than a preteen. And I looked at her and I caught her eye. Oh my gosh, I was like stunned. And so, like in the movie The Sixth Sense, the little boy sees spirit people and they kind of crowd around him because they want something. And it doesn't scare me as much as I didn't have time for it. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm with my family. It's not like I want a spirit person to be tagging along, right? Mm-hmm. But I must remind her of her mother. And I found that spirit people, if it's a child in a cemetery, I can't imagine being a young person and sticking around cemetery for 200-300 years. But there are some of the Quaker people was some of the small earliest people to come to America. And I had to call a friend up, and I don't know how I knew. I just said, looked like a Quaker girl. What do I know about Quaker people? And I described the outfit this lady had on to what I call my woman that I'm writing a book with. And she says, you just described the Quakers. And I go, you're kidding. Really? And she went tick, tick, tick. I could hear her on her iPhone, right? Oh, yes, they came at so-and-so, and I forgot now, right? And so, and I said, I think I got her attention. I feel like she's on my right shoulder area. And she went, oh, my God, you have it. And she started, I said, wait a minute, let me tell you what I'm seeing. And then you tell me if that's what you're seeing. And I went through this description of her. And she was screaming in the phone. She said, don't bring her home. And I said, I don't want to. You know, from Boston to California on a plane, can you imagine how terrified the spirit girl would be? No, 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 no. And she was not attached to me. There's a big difference between a spirit who wants help and a spirit that thinks it should be attacked. Totally different story. And so here we are in Boston Commons on the other side where she was standing, her own cemetery area, not her grave, but the area found her in, talking her away. And she had a sister that showed up and a father that showed up, and we did talk her into going with them. And that happens to us all the time. For you who never see spirit people, if they think that you're intuitive and that they think that you can see them if you try, absolutely. How do you know? We glow different. I used to do rescues, and I got out because I just couldn't put my mind to so many aspects. And I asked spirit people a couple of times, why me? And they said, you have a bright light. I go, huh. And I was thinking of a candle and a windowsill. And they said, you're just bright. And I come to think of it, I talked to another friend about spirits that could attach to me. And her statement was, I don't know how they could attach to you. Glow too bright. Meaning I have a lot of energy. Like I'm talking real calmly with you people. But I can get at my gentle age of mid-70s, I can really burn bright. And so people would have a hard time attaching themselves to me, but that doesn't mean they can't stand next to me. And so for you that are listening, this is the fun part of this talk tonight, is that I think we all have the ability to be able to listen, to hear our relatives, our angels, our guides, be comforted by them all the time. But it takes practice, and that's time for another show that will completely talk about that. But anyway, when digital came out and the shows, it was found to be that the clarity of the digital was on point. It's absolutely great. And so you're going to be able to hear better. And all the shows on TV, they're doing digital now. The only problem is, where would you want to do this? Do you want to go to the local, like in Oroville? We got 3 cemeteries. Do you really want to go? A lot of people do. In fact, I talked to Shaw. I'm not bothered by it. I've talked to everybody. Get them out of the cemetery. What are you doing here, by the way? You know? But I think that the beauty and solitude and the respect that's in most cemeteries would be very interesting to visit them going across the country. Just tap in. But yet, it's tiring because they will pull energy from you. And it's not like a lot. We're talking 1 or 2 per cemetery, maybe, you know. But they get off kilter. They get lost. And so I'm an advocate for rescues. And I've been told a few times, don't, Nancy, I know what you do for money. You don't rescue them because this is how we make our money. And I was like shocked. Absolutely. And when I was doing remote viewing on Block Talk Radio, YouTube, I did a remote of investigative group at Hotel Back East. And they didn't want me to talk to them and get rid of them. So it's pretty big deal. Okay, so get back to the sixth sense.
Real quick interjection. What I found being out in the field, because we tend to investigate those old hotels a lot, and there are some hotel owners that embrace their paranormal because they know it's going to bring people in to stay. And so that's why they don't want you to do any rescues. Sometimes it's sad. You know, sometimes you get one that's really crying and stuff because they're trying to find their kid or their husband or something. But the orders come down from on high, you know, from the owner of the hotel that you can't attempt any soul rescues on them at all because that's where they're making the extra bucks.
And those who are sensitive, and they are intuitive, but sensitive. I was doing a show with Char. I can't remember Char. I apologize. Another show, and there was a big house, a Victorian, and the spirit woman and a younger person was upstairs, and they and the lady was telling me, go in the house, and I put my mind to it. I called, put my mind to it, and Char has told you this is kind of creepy when I do this. I just call myself a remote viewer. I can describe. She's laughing. I can describe the interior, and when poor Orange Paranormal George Lopez, he had me do an investigation back east, and I saw Civil War injured, and I saw the wagons and the horses come in front during that period of the turmoil, and he didn't even know this, but the owner of the building said, "Oh, I forgot to tell you. Yes, this is where the military would." And the horses would come up, and where we're standing was the hospital. And I described a boy laying in the bed right next to him, and he had broken his shoulder, his arm was up, or injury, and his arm was up. And come to find out that he actually could verify that. So when we do this remote view, it doesn't stop us from seeing the interior of people's homes. And when you get a reading from me, I am not doing that. I'm focusing on you, and I'm in your time. And our time is located at the base of our neck, but being a remote viewer, it's so exciting to think you can tap into time. And is that always fun? No, absolutely. So getting with that, tapping into time, in the sixth sense, Bruce Willis is confronted at the very beginning of the movie of a man who yells at him, you betrayed me, you didn't help me. And he shoots Bruce Willis and he falls back on his bed and his wife clamors around him and it's a terrible scene of bleeding. And the next second, you hear another blast, and the young man who was in the bathroom killed himself. Now we're going ahead where Bruce Willis then is going to help another client, and he's right on his book. He watched the little boy come out of the house. He's been told he has to help him. So the movie is all about that. Toward the end of the movie, he starts realizing he should go back and investigate, because now he thinks he knows who it was that shot himself. He goes back and listens to, as therapists will say to you, and as I've done over decades and decades, keep copies of all these things, that he had a record of helping this man when he was a child. And so he was listening to this tape. And so the audience can hear him click, click, watch him hit the back button, play it, and back button, play it. And what he was listening to was not the boy sitting there, because he told him to be quiet, because he would be back. He left the room, but the man talking on the tape, and the little boy making reference to him, leave me alone, leave me alone. And this voice was of a ghost. And the little boy, who grew to be a man, who shot himself after shooting Bruce Willis, was talking in French. And so Bruce was realizing that the little boy he was helping today had the same story as the man who killed himself, who yelled at him, you were supposed to help me, he didn't. So in a roundabout way, Bruce Willis, I'm not trying to steal the plot from you, most 99% of people in America have seen this movie. In some ways, Bruce Willis wasn't aware that he had passed away. And as a spirit person, he was captured by his own, I failed this boy, which was the man, kept him here. And so the unit set him up to be able to help this young man into present time not be afraid of ghosts. And in the movie, they portray the ghosts as difficult. And watching the little boy would see things that were terrible. But at the same time, spirit people tell me the ones that get stuck have unfinished business. And I will address this, not only unfinished business, but remorse. I love you too much to leave you alone type of statements. All the kind of reasons you think, well, I'm not going to become a ghost. And then you go and you realize, oh, I didn't finish the story of my life yet. And we tried to do that. So I recommend you do MP. I do not. And Char will tell you, we have talked about this. You know, it's fun that we took a picture of her ghostie behind us. It's fun that Char took and listened very carefully to the show that we did, that the voice was there. How do you rectify it? Well, she just told you this is someone in the family. And a lot of times I'll bring up a topic, I'll start talking about it, and I realize, oops, I didn't ask permission. There are some people who allow me to talk about their story, and others where I better be careful. I don't want them to think I betrayed them. So when I get started talking about all my sessions, tens of thousands or everybody, I will be very careful to disguise in such a way that no one ever know who it really is. And that's very, and that's private. It's like a spirit people talking to us. Until you really know what their story is, you've got to be very respectful and sympathetic and compassionate. And then they will trust you to help them figure out why they're still here. So EVPs, MP3s are one of the sessions I do. EVPs is what you get, exactly what Char did on the audio of the show. And we already talked about that. Taking photographs with intended filming a spirit or ghost can be fun also, like the gentleman behind us, in which Char and I talked about 2 or 3 weeks back. Go look at it. Behind me is a trifold. This is a smaller house at 2,000 square feet, but in the past, my husband and I have had really bigger homes. And I love room dividers. I love the artwork. I've got too much artwork. But the room dividers, the one I have behind me, allows me to have more spaces. And even though I have cats, they never caught them, thank goodness. This has been really nice. And you say, well, Nancy, you always have the same shirt on. Well, I have a lot of the darker colors because I love the artwork that's behind me. And if it gets too busy, then it's a mess to try to concentrate on the person you're listening to. So this calming one that I have behind me was folded up and to my left. And the edges are nice and sharp. So go back and look on the show. You'll see the picture. And this spirit person moved away from the door and was kind of filmy and solidified to where you could not see the edges of the trifold. Very important point. And so at first when I saw it, I said, well, it's similar to the trifold. But I looked at it and I went, holy moly. This gentleman is blocking us from looking through him to see the edge of the trifold. Got my attention. But would you do it in your own home? I know a couple of people who do YouTube shows who just do EVPs. And they did them in the home. And one gentleman, I kind of clicked into his mind, and it seems like the family is uncomfortable with his investigating and had done so for years and years of their own house. They live on the East Coast, and the home was very old. So sometimes it's all, oh, so fun, you know, who's around us, but they have the family. If I didn't hear, would my husband be bothered? Nah, he's been married too long to me. Oh, go ahead, Nancy. I don't care who's around us, you know. We live with a couple already here. But most people, I think, shouldn't do it until you've had enough exposure to the idea. And this is where it's important, that the spirit people that are around us, they are post-human peoples. Post-human, that's not the right word. Post-flesh peoples. And I am so there that I see spirit people, and they're just a person to me. But they're see-through. Most of the time. And I've really enjoyed the people I've met. And I have lots of stories. Okay, so I want to talk to you really quick about the picture. And this is going to happen. This is so cool. My daughter wanted to see Hammond Castle. Hammond, H-A-M-M-O-N-D, Castle. And while I was there, we went into what we call the banquet hall. I'd have mentioned it. I've talked about it again. And the young man, his last name is McLaren. He is a tour guide. And I'm always talking to everybody. I start a conversation with him. And he was talking about the organ. So when you get in this banquet hall, the builder, Hammond Jr., he built an organ at the second floor level. So you look up, and it's 2.5 stories tall. So at the second floor story, at one end was a big organ. And he says, how many pipes do you think is with the organ? Well, what do I know, 50? 4,000. Well, I can't even count that. And he said, what it is that the pipes are threaded through the walls. This thing was built in 1920s. It's called a building, 1920s Hammond Castle. Were put through the walls into alcoves where the sound would come into the room while everybody's having a banquet. Can you imagine how much volume must have been? And I looked up, I thought, that is so interesting. I looked to my left, second story where the alcove was, and there's Mr. Ghosty. And I went, oh my goodness, who are you? And he was holding on to the bars, which is impossible, but he was, you know, that was the visual. And he was hanging out almost past the rib cage. And so he had the dad bod, but he was older. So he was hanging out, and he caught my eye, and he just grinned, and I went, nah, you're kidding. So like I said, if you can see spirit people, it could be really fun. And of course, I had my phone, but my phone has a lock on the back. I know. And it has a lock on the back. See this? And so you have to pry it open, and I was pry it open. Look at that. I can't even do it now, right? And it's stuck. So I was, I said, I don't know who you are, but stay there for a minute. I was fussing with this thing, fussy. Finally took a picture. Yeah, you know, so I didn't see him. And I went, okay, let's just go home, right? And so, what did I do here? I hit something. So anyway, and I hit my screen here, my notes. So here I'm laughing so hard, I got tears coming out. So when I got home about 2 weeks later, I called Shar up after looking at it. And I went, are you kidding me? There's Mr. Hammond sitting there proud. He went, first thing, leaning out looking at me because he was enjoying. In fact, his will was set up. He put all this money in that he inherited from his father. He says, I wanted to be a museum. I want the peoples of America to come and enjoy and see what I have put out for everybody to enjoy. He had it's a wonderful castle. Everybody should go. 2 weeks later, I'm sending the picture to Shar of a blow up of this section in the middle. And I went, Shar, I cannot believe this. Mr. Hammond is sitting there with his whiskers and all and his bigger body. And he just is grinning like a sideways. And I went, I sent it to everybody I know. I said, did I get this picture? And yep, I did. And Char is laughing because she sent it 3 or 4 different people also. I then sent it a week ago. I even waited a week before I thought about it. I sent it to Hammond Castle. So the lady in charge, and I did not tell her I was going to talk about her tonight, she took it. And she said, I want to know who you are. I want to look all this up. I'm really paranormal. And I went, I can't believe I got Mr. Hammond. And she says, you got Mr. Hammond. I go, I know it. I almost didn't because I was so excited that in this wonderful, beautiful place, this ghost was looking at me and we locked eyes. I went, oh, come on. But he was very gracious and he waited. I got home 2 weeks later. I saw a picture and then I did some research on him and he did resemble, this is him at the end of his life. And he did grow to be in the 70s, mid-70s, I think. So it did fit, the white beard all coming down like this. But anyway, those are the fun things. And when you don't, we went to other places and I didn't take the cameras. It's just like, you don't think of it, but sometimes they impress upon you, they want to be seen. So again, not to do this in your home, okay? You could do it anywhere else. Only because when you start out, the thing is, I'm telling you, is that I think part of my journey is to make this so common and so exciting to think that we can coexist with people kind and they don't have the encumbrances of flesh. That doesn't mean I want to leave my flesh because I'm still writing. I'm writing a book here and I've got another one on the side of writing and I got 8 more lined up because these aren't the ones I thought I would write first. So I'm not ready to, but at the same time, it makes life easier. Now, with all that conversation and a little bit of humor, and I want to speak to how excited I am to think that we have this ability. Shar's doing readings now. Anything you want to ask, you know, it's exciting to think that these avenues are open to people. If you have the intent and the purity of heart to do well and service of to man, it's wonderful. And because I'm a minister, Universal Christ of the Master. I worked there for 15 years. Church of Living God, Sedona, Arizona, is who I got my ministry from, 1992. Yes, I'm that old. I actually started in 90. But it's really amazing how beautiful every day is, that I can live in existence with other kind of other peoples of all different eras. So I would love that for you too. Now, the next section of my talk tonight is more difficult, but at the same time, with sensitivity and with compassion, I talk about this. I want you to also understand that I don't want anybody to write me and say I wasn't sensitive to something, because I'm trying to do my best, because I only have an hour. Oh, it's 7:15. So, Shar, I hope you give me an extra half hour here. How ghosts appear after death. Most of the time, 99% of the time, that I spend, this is a big number, 95% of the time, I'll see spirit people just as they last saw themselves or wish that you would see them. So I went to the medical offices about 6 months ago, and I walked in, talked to the Chinese girl, and all of a sudden a fast relative in her past shows up, the man. And he had one of those caps, like hill cap, like Jackie Kennedy had, the pink suit that she wore the day that Kennedy got killed. And it's a little cap. And he had that kind of shape on. He had a silky two-piece with embroidery going around the center. And I went, oh, my gosh, he's so handsome. He was a nice-looking man. Clearly, they had money. And he was standing there behind her on the side while she was checking into the doctor's appointment, right? So I just went again to the doctor the day for something else. At my age, you go more often. And it's a skin thing. So they burned, I covered it well. You can't see it. Burned off things off my face. And, you know, and I dropped in to say hello to him because I wanted to know if she found him. And he shows up again with a different color suit on. He says, I want them to find me. I go, okay. I had to tell her all over again. But she took it not serious. So spirit people have a sense of humor. And he was gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. And we can present that only if they can remember. Because this gentleman looked like decades, century back. It's amazing. Children will oftentimes be whole, and they'll find themselves as you would bury them. So one of the first times that happened, it was a girl in Arizona, and they buried a 5 or 6 year old girl. And so I'm just talking about that. And they buried her in a party dress with patent shoes and socks. And I saw the woman says, I don't feel her. I don't feel her. I go, well, wait a minute. And I says, what's your husband's first name? The father's first name, where is he at work? And the little girl was floating around daddy, because daddy had a harder time with this, believe it or not, than mom. And she was trying to comfort him. What was extraordinary is that she was dressed in that party dress. I think she was 5 or 6, because she was dressed like she had seen herself last. And I see this a lot. Now, sometimes, and a gal here was talking to me, and her father showed up. And the father died about, 25, 30 years ago. And he was 55 or 60. And I described him. Oh, that's him, but you didn't mention he had glasses or not. And I thought, you mean I didn't give you enough description? You want the glasses? And he actually forgot what pair he had on when he died. Uh-huh, that happens. So I was looking at him, and he was struggling. He said, what glasses do I have? And I thought, this is a... And then another, he showed me 3 different styles. And he settled on the gold rim. What do I have on? Gold rim. Similar. Yep. Gold rims. These are my computer glasses, everybody. Rims. And she says, oh, that's right. He wore them. And I thought, well, what about the other 2 pairs that he showed me? So it was a little humorous. And I thought, you mean I didn't describe him good enough? Because I'm very, very visual. And she says, yep, that's him. That's the glasses. And that's what she wanted to know. So then I saw her a couple weeks later and walked out. We were just visiting. And a short, heavy woman showed up. I went, oh, there's a short woman that showed up. She says she's your grandmother. She says, oh, really? And the woman, this is terrible. The woman raised her arms and she goes, flap, flap, flap. And the lady goes, oh, my God, that's my grandmother. And I says, that's what you needed to know before you just... She says she was the only one in the family. She was always making fun of her wings. So sometimes they come back with humor, but they're whole. Because I believe she said that these people die uncomfortable deaths. So if there's cancer or there's emphysema or something, diabetes takes terrible things to the body, they will show up whole. And now I want to talk about other cases. So when I was entertained at the Spirit of Grace, it was Friday night. I worked for 15 years, most of the time Friday nights. I did a lot of psychic events in town. I was always somewhere, story, whatever. And so this one group one night, and this is the opposite of what I'm telling you. So this family across from me wanted to know the teenage boy that was sitting there, who the guide of that child was. And all of a sudden my eyes went to the ground and there was this man, slim, had a light colored shirt on. He had medium to lighter complexion. The family, the man looked German, that's Scandinavian to me. He had a lot of white hair on his arms. So sometimes I've talked to so many people, there's characteristics, right? Germany, Scandinavian, Norwegian, whatever, whatever. But he was sitting on the ground and I went, what are you sitting on the ground for? And he put his arm, put his hands down and he lifted his body. And when he did, I could see that he had his legs folded out underneath him. This man was born a cripple. And that's unfortunate. Sometimes the cord, the umbilical cord can wrap on the body. I've talked to people who bounce fingers. You know, the cord gets wrapped on the finger, the circulation, it stops. This man was born with this condition. And he lifted and sat. So he was going across the floor. And the first thing, though, all these people are screaming at me. Nancy, that's, I go, too many Christmas, what I do? Well, that was their favorite uncle. The boy didn't know him, but the parents did. And an unfortunate man died young, but I could see no disease or no problem. But he did not stand up. So whatever how you're born, and I'm going to have another conversation, very sensitive, we're going to go down here. He was born this way, and that was the only way these relatives could identify him. Because if he had stood upright, that impacted issue of not walking. So in life, this boy, young man, lift himself and scooted across the floor. Nowadays, you get skateboards, you got wheelchairs, whatever. I prefer the skateboard idea. That I've seen YouTubes of young people on skateboards. It's just like crazily imagined. Great, great. So I've seen that happen. Another one, and it was afterward, I kind of chuckled on it. I said, oh my God, this family almost had a heart attack. They instantly knew who I was talking about. I can't make it up. It's like, I wonder at what point they get that I'm not making it up, that this is true of our lives, that we go on. Because one aspect of this that I've come to believe and understand is that we live in constant fear. The only fear we have is what we're born with, and that is a fear of falling. Everything else is put upon us, and we live our fear on everything. How nice to at least not fear death. Life's hard enough, right? Second was a friend of mine who was born with spina bifida. And I wrote my notes on it. If you remember how it's spelled, bifida. You see how I spell it here, spina what? But she was a lovely woman, and she was a psychic, and she was on KFDK being interviewed one day. And I called her up. I said, I would like to meet her. And we became really good friends. Anyway, after she died, it was February of 91. I think it was February 91. Sorry. And so I was talking to a client. I lived in Sunrise Boulevard, Sunrise and Old Auburn, for those people who know of me. I guess that's my hair up still. Anyway, so she shows up and I have a client come in and sit down, right? But she's over here on this cushion for a big chair. I love big, comfortable chairs. And she stood there and the poor thing, I loved her, but she scared a lot of people because she would drag her legs while using crutches. Pretty, and then life, that's tough. So, well, I loved her. It's funny how...
You have a question in the chat room. There's a question in the chat room.
Oh, give me the question.
Okay, hang on. Let me enlarge this. Young eyes, old body.
It's Michelle. Hello.
It's Michelle.
I can see... Nancy, my dad saw my mom at our dinner table looking younger than when she passed. I saw her in later years, but not as old as when she passed. Is this a desire of the spirit's part? Oh, absolutely. And that was part of what I was going to speak to here. they can choose whenever would give the family member more comfort. We don't want to see our parents and relatives, and this is the next section I was going to talk about, and what causes our death. It's too traumatic. They want you to know that they're happy and that they're whole. So they're going to show up. And this happened to me. My mother died in 2009, and we were living, my husband and I moved to Arizona. And in 2009, when she passed, we were living in Sierra Vista, Arizona, next door to Tucson. And I was doing a lot of lectures there, learning, the equivalent of the learning exchange that we used to have. Well, they have that there, and I was giving a lot of groups and past life regressions. I love past life regressions. One of the things I can do is groups, so I was doing a big group that night. And I was on stage, and I had my husband with a camera. He forgot to push a button, didn't get recorded. My mother shows up next to me on stage, almost had a heart attack. I'm older, not real late, but when I was younger, I was darker, and so was my mother. My mother had the hair really, really dark, almost black. She had the black eyes, the American Indian coloring, but she was a dainty little tiny thing. 5'3", but never weighed more than 103. So she was very petite. And I remember once Mama talking to me about when she was really young. And when I saw her, I said, oh my gosh, she must be 18 years old. She had the most beautiful black eyelashes, just boom, with the big black eyes, big eyes like mine. And I was just taken away, scared the dickens out of me. A good thing that where I was standing was step off like a platform, but it wasn't more than one step. If I'd fallen, I would have got hurt because she went boom, and she was right there with me. And when I entertained her, Mommy lived in a seven-story retirement villa, kind of apartment complex in 2009 in Portland, Oregon. And she told everybody about me, and I went up to entertain her people. It's been 07. And I started talking to everybody about the spirit people, the dead people that were in the room. For lack of a better word, if I said spirit people, you wouldn't know what I was speaking to. So I had this big room of people I talk about what I do, and started describing all the relatives there. And she called me up after we left. She says, I'm the most popular lady here. I said, you are, Mom? She says, you made me a celebrity. I go, oh, Mom, that is so fun. So she showed up. And you ladies in Sierra Vista, particularly Nancy, you see this, give me a call. She showed up, and I was like, imagine it's getting to me. She showed up on stage with me because that's what I did in her building. And she enjoyed it, but like an 18-year-old. Because we don't want to envision our relatives at an age of their preference. And whatever age you felt in your life, you looked the best. And I remember being 29, I had a Volkswagen, had the kids in the back seat. And I remember thinking it was just like a week before my birthday. And I said, this is the last time I'll be 29. And I remember thinking I was so slim, athletic. And I went, I wonder if I'll look like this later on. I think this is the best I've ever seen myself. And so we will show up around that age. We seem to capture a personality around 30. And so all of the stories you'll hear, people say, I was so young, 25 to 30 years old. And that seems to be, except for my mother, she showed up at 18, as I've seen pictures of her, which is very, very amazing. That really got me going, girlfriend. Thank you for that. So anyway, finish the thought with spina bifida. So Donna, I didn't lose myself here. I had this oversized chair, but with the ottoman right in front. And Donna shows up standing on, you can see my hands, standing up on this ottoman. And she, from the waist down, she looked like a three-year-old. It was, you know, it was very, but from the waist up, she had a very large rib cage and really long arms, but she was using crutches and people couldn't see that much of her. And she always told me that if she had proper legs and born this way, she'd probably never gotten into readings because she liked to live the wild side. In fact, some of her lovers, hear me, lovers, were Hell's Angels. And I go, oh, that must have been so fun for you. She laughed. Anyway, she sets up on this ottoman, and she's standing there. She's got these great big arms lifted. She says, "Nancy, I can stand straight. I can stand straight. But F, I'm still only 4'11". So, as a spirit person, she never got legs because she never had in this lifetime. So until this lifetime is passed for her and she decides to come back, she's going to keep that form because that's how everybody knew her. Same as the gentleman, the relative that lifted himself off the floor to walk. Oh my God, that's good memories, everybody. I don't know. Okay, I talked about the glasses. This is a section here I'm going into that's a little bit more intense. I want you to kind of stay with me because it doesn't happen often. It doesn't happen with everybody. Grieving is a terrible thing. Fear, I'm going to address fear. When our elderly people, or people in the family, and young people are ill, or they die suddenly, there's an emotional upset that's combined with fear. And it's a this is where I sometimes have a difficult time, because you have a difficult time talking to me. And so I have to pull everything I have in memory of all the times I've talked to people to kind of help them overcome, not overcome it, not surrender, and let it evolve to, but put it in perspective that we can live. Because my intent when I talk to people is to get you to a place where you are wanting to see tomorrow. So let me gently talk about this, okay? And just hear it and let it, get what you need from it, and we can talk about it later if you need to. If we're emotionally upset, of course, and cannot accept they are no longer with us, but they're no longer suffering, we tend to want to take responsibility in some way. The number of people that call me with relatives who passed away and they have guilt is amazing. I let the teenager take the car that night. We had a fight, and they left and got injured or killed. I didn't believe that they were sick, and I've heard this more times than you believe. I didn't know they had mental problems and they committed suicide. Unbelievable. And yet, do we all do this? It's a number of people. It's surprising to me. Surprising. So in some ways, when I talk to these people, that emotional that you're going through is also based on, don't hear this wrong now, your fear of death too. So I want to say things like, whether emotionally, which we can have done more, that spirit will be entrenched with your energy and pulled into the damage from the incident that took their death. So I want to address the first lady that came to me. And this is why I remember. Carefully, I say this. Please don't. This is really tough. So the kids got in the car overlooking a valley. If you envision the movies where the kids go up to romance on top of a overseeing over the valley. I think they say that's L.A. Basin. Almost every movie with this kind of visual is this platform where the kids sit in the car and make out, right? And so this young man, this is 1990, everybody. He and a bunch of kids went up to the cliffs to make out. And for some reason, whatever was in his mind, they were college age. They were just in the first year of college. He got out of the car. There was four of them. And I believe I remember thinking there was other kids standing outside of their cars. He took a run. He jumped over the cliff. Yeah, you heard me right. And he killed himself in front of everybody. And, boy, that's really tough. I got laughing with this other stuff, and now my eyes are watering. Hold on. When she came to me, it was such guilt because she was angry with him. How dare he do this and take himself from her? How dare he, after she put all this effort into making sure they had enough money for the college, they got him tutors, they pressed upon him the importance of schooling. Are you seeing where I'm going with this, everybody? So then she was taking responsibility for pushing too hard, that she was a dominant, overbearing, I don't want her to call me, but this is what I'm picking up at that time because it really struggled with it. How do I, as intuitive, she should have gone more counseling. I'm always surprised the level of responsibility that people put on us like this. Mm-hmm. She wanted me to justify that he did it because he didn't like who he was and not because she pushed him so hard. Now, anybody that talks to me, hear me talking about this, put your mind to me and let me take you to that reading of him. This is what's really hard. He was in the air. So if you take a big leap, running, and you leap into the air before you take that plunge, you're going to be up in the air 15 seconds maybe, whatever it is, right? Because you've seen movies where people skydiving or what we call the ones that down on Mexican borders or somewhere in Greece, they got a cliff and they jump in, skydive in. So this guy, when I put my mind to the situation of that night, he's standing out there in the air. I go, how are you doing that? He says, I didn't want to die. I changed my mind when I jumped. And I said, well, what happened? He says, I was so overcome with grief. You had grief? That I couldn't live up to my mother of what her expectations were. Now, everybody, tell me, that hasn't come up in how many scenarios in today's world. Or was. I don't know that we put the emphasis as much or as hard or expectations, but I talk to a lot of cultures and we have to be careful not to push too hard. I talk to parents and the parents say, I really want my child to be an engineer or a doctor. And I say, well, what does a child want to do? Really? Okay. So they're going to get a degree and guess what they're going to do? They're going to try and get another degree doing what they want to do. Human beings have the right to live their own life. And when there's something like this, the recovery of that. Now, let's back up. Careful, don't want letters, everybody. This is just tough stuff, generalization. Her fear of lack of success of her life and never getting what she wanted pushed her to do that to her son. So her grief was based on her failures of not getting what she wanted and the expectations of her son. Wow. How in the world do you think I had to come to her? Tough stuff. In some ways, I have to believe, and this is another tough way of putting, just flow with this, everybody. I've been doing this every day for 33 years. I've learned some things. First off, I'm not scared of the ghosties or spirit peoples. Spirit peoples, and I call them ghosties for the fun of it. And I do believe I'm going to take you to verification of children's past lives on YouTube or anything, just type in children past lives. It's absolutely reincarnation. Absolutely amazing. The number of stories of kids that said, you know, you're my mommy once before, or I was your daddy. And if I could have a whole night and remember all the stories of all the moms who talked to me about their children missing grandma who died 9 years before you were born type stories, because they were in spirit together. It is unbelievable. We choose a life with a date we want to come in and a date that we will leave. And those of you who want to commit suicide, it is not your time, your event, to be able to go home. You will end up living with the results. And we've heard of this happening. And there was this beautifully young woman who committed suicide, tried to, shotgun to the face. And guess what? Now she's got someone else's face she's wearing. She survived. Because it wasn't her time. But her story for the life that she chose was to do this so that she could turn around as an inspirational speaker to help other young people who are in trauma about their life. This is very hard stuff. So when we are living our life, whatever fear you live with, remember I told you earlier, the only fear that we're born with is that of falling. We want mama to hold on to us when we're getting nursed. You drop that child, the child's going to die. That's the only thing we're afraid of. So everything else is put upon us. So if you take your fears and put it toward other people, you have to be more lenient on that. Fear is a reflection of what we've experienced. And when a deceased relative has passed away with physical difficulty, we'll put out fear. This is the other aspect of fear. What if that happened to me? So you have this other experience of someone you know, and they've died in a terrible accident. Or boat sunk, or there was an explosion. you will grieve that person, but that death will reflect back on you. And you have to allow that exit point to that person and not pull it to you, because it's not your storyline. So what happens is, and this is how I wrote this up, fear is a reflection of what we experience. And when deceased relative has passed, anybody has passed away with that physical problem that caused their death, we'll put that fear in what happens if that happened to me. So my father's killed by a drunk driver, and they ricocheted, and he went into a brick wall. Now, how many times do you think I thought of that and envisioned going into a brick wall? Never. I was always 6 years old. But that was his storyline that has nothing to do with me. Do not hold on to what happens to somebody else. Because when they chose this life, that was their exit point. It has nothing to do with you. And sometimes that fear is looked at as grieving. Truly, you'll miss this person. You're not minimizing that. But it also, inside of you, is the fear of that death also. That's why we're so interested when we read about movie stars or important people. Oh, how did they die? Well, aren't you interested in how they live first? We go right there to death.
Really quick, when somebody dies violently, do they end up, depending on what's going on, because that's the last time they saw them, like maybe they went to the hospital to identify the body or the morgue, you know, and they see them as they died. Does that leave an imprint in the brain so that when you see them the next time, that's how you see them?
No, they don't show up. This is what I was going, this is the next section. When someone gets shot or they're killed violently, most of the time they're not in the body at that moment. How many of you, I'm going to bring up a thought here. How many of you, and I was in a car accident, and it was somebody who was doing it to me. They were speeding in the rain, and they hit the middle divider, Hillsdale Boulevard and Madison, Sacramento. Look it up. Big old sweep of the road. He hit that in the rain, and it flipped the car over on top of our car. So it was something that happened to me, and I remember looking at the guy, and those years there was seatbelts, he was holding the steering wheel, he was about ready to crash into the top part of the car. And I remember thinking, oh, we're going in slow motion, right? Mm-hmm. And it was very scary. But in that moment is how you remember yourself. But at that moment of slowing down, a spirit person will go, oh, would you like to come with me? We have something going on. You don't have to be here for this. Either that, or they come and just reach and pull you right out. We are never really there at the second of death. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't suffer and then die at the hospital. Okay? A lot of times, the person will be out of their body. I think this couple called me up, this lady brother, and the dad was dying in the hospital. And she says, how's dad doing? I'm talking to him, but he's not really answering me because she was intuitive. And I put my mind to the hospital bed, and I went, I'll be darned. He had floated out of his body completely and was floating on top in the air above his physical. He was just resting. He didn't want to experience what the body was going to go through before death. He was just arms across. I said, what are you doing there? He says, I'm just floating. I said, well, your daughter's trying to talk to you. I know, I'm just not ready. I go, okay. And I said, oh, he looked at me and he showed me his blue eyes. And of course, most people, they sleep on the back. I'm not to see that. And she says, he was talking to you. How would you know he had blue eyes? I said, because he looked at me. I said, you got to be a little more patient with him. He's not ready. He's going to float a little bit longer in the hospital room. And I saw a murder happening. And when I talked to the family, they verified what I saw, a woman who was being beaten to death. And then afterward, he was going to desecrate her body. And I described a woman who came up to this woman. She said, you don't have to be here for this. And she reached right in that her chest, and she pulled her right out. And what was interesting, the sister, envy of the sister, because I gave the physical description, she turned the victim around so she wasn't watching the death. And I have seen that a lot. Now, the movie that you want to look up, because they made a movie out of this, was Chris Rock. Was in a movie, and he got killed before his time. He should have survived, but he didn't. I'm trying to remember. Heaven Can Wait. Shirley MacLaine's brother was in it. What was his name? I remember.
Warren Beatty.
Warren Beatty was the first one. And the spirit that was going to take him to heaven, he miscalculated because Warren Beatty went into a tunnel. He was going to get hit by a car, but he was going to live. And the spirit came and said, "You're the greeter." I called it the greeters. Some people call him the angel of death, but I don't see him that way because I've seen really sweet-looking people. Take him, go to heaven, and when they were standing in line and going to get him, and those in that first movie, Warren Beatty was an airplane to go to heaven. Of course, that's not true. And they said, "Oh, we can't sign him in the book." And Warren Beatty says, "You mean you took me and I wasn't supposed to die?" So Chris Rock did the same thing. But a lot of times I've seen the death happen, and the spirit person just walking away. Now, there is a YouTube out, and I think it's 16 clips of souls leaving the body. Kind of type that in. You may find it. Of all the different ways they have accidentally, maybe on purpose, captured the spirit leaving the body. And there's a couple accidents, and there's a motorcycle accident, and the car accidents. And a lot of times you'll see the spirit because it's so dense. You're not necessarily seeing the angel person or the family member who's reading because their essence is so light. It's so pure. Can't see them, but you can see the dense spirit of the one that is going to die. And a lot of times they haven't died yet. It's only a few seconds before. They don't have to go through it, especially if they're unconscious. Now, Warren Beatty and Chris Rock, I said, in the movie, they're pulled out and they weren't going to die. And I think both of them are excellent movies. So Heaven Can Wait. And that is true. I've actually seen that. Does that mean our children that die early? When we have children that die early, a lot of times it's people that they don't know. They won't know all their relatives. I didn't even talk about it for 30 years. I bled out one night after having my tonsils out. My mother gave me an aspirin at 6 years old, right? And when I woke up, whatever happened, I was standing with this lady, really tall lady, was a very small lady, kid. And all I knew was that this lady was holding my hand, and I had no idea who it was. But most of the time, little kids, that could have been a representation of who I would consider safe. Children are greeted by other angel beings, a softness. I've never seen a child greeted by another child. Are they greeted by a deceased parent? I rarely see that as much as an angelical kind of an individual. Their souls are so pure that you need to have someone whose soul is also pure or very nurturing. I just remember another one. So it happens a lot that way. Yes, okay. What we are not aware of is you're thinking of that deceased person, put your life force to them. So when you think of a deceased person and there's a lot of trauma, drama that's going on, remember they pulled out of the body before the actual death, because if it's violent or you don't want to carry that energy of the death, if it's more than just lying in your bed dying or something, you don't want to take that as a spirit person. You want to be for that. And I think that it happens a lot. I'm a human being and I don't have memories of the before times so I can talk to everybody, but I've seen it so many times that I think that's the majority of what happens. So when you're thinking of this person, when people say, "Nancy, why don't you talk to so-and-so?" Well, I can't talk to so-and-so unless you invite them. Remember that, everybody. But when I do, I put my mind to them, and I can talk to them. I'm not physically with them in your house, but I can find them and I can talk to them. If I can do it, you do it, but you don't realize you're doing it. So if you're talking to somebody who had a terrible accident or died in the war, you're putting your mind to them. If you think of them in a positive, healthy way, then they also can be that. If you think them in war-torn environment of disarray and terrible things, they will stay that way until you stop seeing them that way. So I've always shared with you when I was in Sierra Vista, there was a military base there. Well, after two or three people coming to visit me, I ended up talking to all 30 of the group plus the supervisor. Yep, I did. It was amazing. I became the hit of the parade, so to speak. And I did have to tell a couple of people, one boy, young man, they're all kids to me now, was worried about a brother in conflict. So I think the Iraq, what was it, 08, 09? I can't remember, but it was, oh, shucks, there's too many. You seem to always have something going on, everybody. I can't remember, but the boy, I said to him, I said, your brother's going to come back, but if there's damage to the arm, don't get upset. This is part of the story of his life, that he will evaluate his life and make more of it because he came close to being more injured than what he's in. So I actually told him that. I wish he had gotten back to me. The other one I wanted to talk about, I've mentioned this before, was a young girl who came in, and then a soldier came with her. And I'm looking at the soldier, I'm looking at her, and I'm like, well, I know who you're talking about because he followed you in here. And I've already brought this one up. And when I looked at him, he had his military fatigues on, and he had red lines all over him. And I go, oh my goodness, this guy was blown up. Oh my gosh. And he had put himself together the best he could. Now, that's how he showed up for her. For his mother, the family members, he could be different because they saw him from the photographs for the last time, but not on the battlefield. So she was explaining to me that she was in the Jeep behind his, and it was blown up. And she, as the people behind, they got out and picked up his body part and put it in the bag. So she can't get past that. And so he said to me, have her remember me at breakfast. And he showed me these big old long tables that you have in a cafeteria, right? That's cool. And she said, oh. And I don't remember every word she said. But I said, you've got to remember him that way because you're remembering him blown up. And he just says that's time for you to heal because he's fine. And she believed me. And I was grateful for her because he's okay. We forget, carefully I'm wording this, their death happened one time. And when you're grieving for whatever reason, encapsulate everything. Remember, I got a short evening. I'm almost running out of time here for everybody. They experienced death once, one time. You're making them relive their own death every time you think of it. Release yourself from that death because that was only a second for him. And when you suffer, they suffer. They can feel you thinking of them like, I can put my mind to a spirit person. You do it without realizing it, and you're pulling that spirit to you, and you're grieving them over and over of how they died and what could have been better or done, whatever. So you have to release that and allow them to be the spirit people of a healthy state, because that's all we want. That's all we want, is them to be emotionally healthy. But you have to get to a place of acceptance that these people, we do survive. Maybe she wasn't aware of that. Maybe she only visualized mm-hmm. him as the pieces that she picked up off the ground, not embracing the idea, like I think, as this is my journey mm-hmm. with you, that we do survive. And it is amazing. Now, I want to also add, I am a human being, and my life has not been great. None of us have a great life. That's because the experiences of being in flesh and living in today's world, maybe 1,000 years from now, will be different. But being older, Betty Davis said something, and I have a card with her by Zhang Zhang on Etsy. And Betty Davis has her hands on her cheek. She says, getting old is not for sissies. Believe me, that's true. So we all have the wonders of getting old. That's the gift of being alive, but it has its problems. Every age does. But the idea is that I get to live in the sunshine. I get to live as a human being. Spirit people are always telling me, man, I'd love to have another cup of coffee. And there were some years when I was allowing and thinking of them in a food way. And they would come and tell me the foods we ate. And it was always amazing to me, the pizza, French bread, all the smelly foods. That TV show Ghosts on Monday night, something, the spirits that live in that bread and breakfast is actually a mansion somewhere in America. They're missing. They can smell food, but they can't enjoy the taste of it. And I'm always amazed how much they miss that. Isn't that amazing? Suffering, both the living and the individuals are you've created a loop of suffering. You're suffering because you're remembering how they died. They're suffering because you are remembering how they died, but can't get past your grief. You can't get past your own grief in regard to them. So we need to learn how to break that loop. And I just told you the Sara. Oh, the other story is really hard too. And if this family member hears this, of course, I want to know if everybody's okay, but it's been 25 years, I think. Went and entertained a group of people, and this woman came talk to me about the death of a child in the family, a boy, early teens, and he fell overboard and went into the blaze of the boat. And when he showed up, the boy had showed me gouges all over his body. He was standing next to her, and he was actually kind of upset with Dad. And Dad took the blame, as he would, because we're parents, right? And I feel the same way. Oh, I'm going to get up on this one here, too. But the boy said to me, he needs to stop grieving because I'm the one that fell over. He had nothing to do with it. But he's causing me grief. The boy's causing him grief to see Dad so hurt. It happened one time for 10 seconds. But his gouge through his chest was just extraordinary. And that's how the father was being reminded, because he was the one that jumped in after the boy and brought him on the boat. So somehow we have to get past that. Can I do that? No. Does it take work? Absolutely. This is really hard, guys. Many near-death experiencers. I love YouTube because I've watched in near-death experiencers, those who leave the body after a traumatic episode or during surgery, having a heart attack, a child falling in water, and then they're rescued over and over and over. These stories are absolutely amazing how they leave their body and they go to the celestial realm. And then somebody says, you know, we let you visit, but you can't stay. They go, oh, I want to stay. So many of the near-death experiencers who leave their bodies after traumatic injury, death, on surgery, hospital surgery room will see or feel themselves whole. So they're out of their body and look down, they're just fine. In fact, they got the clothes on they had in the morning. Yet on the operating table, you know, they're not clothed. They're being worked on desperately trying to save them. And limbs are cut off sometimes. Yet they look at themselves and they go to the celestial realm whole. And then they find out their life isn't over, but you have to go back. And they look down and go, well, this actually, I saw this. They looked at their body as whole, but when they go back, they knew it wouldn't be. So that's quite amazing. And I've heard of this over and over and over. It's not their time to stay in the heavenly realm. Then they have to accept the damaged body and return. They don't want to come back. But a lot of times, especially young parents, the children need me. If it's the time that child, that life would be over, then they stay. And that's all there is. If in the normal life an individual has the gift of experiencing all ages in life and has it at an old age, we can mourn and miss them. We seem to think this is an okay situation. So elderly people pass away. You know, maybe this is my last hour, you know, and the family will go, she had a good life, she was really busy, you know, she was really creative. But when it happens to someone younger, I'm of the belief that we take a life to experience whatever that life offers. And the day of the birth and ultimately the day of going home, near-death experiences and going home all the time, have already been predetermined. And then the question of free will versus predestination is one of my favorite topics. Quantum physics, parallel universes and multiple dimensions, all that is all interhered. It's all been determined. And sometimes the easiest way to have proof of something like that is to learn and listen to the children that talk of past lives. So again, I'll reference YouTube verification of past lives and children. Fabulous, fabulous. The channel on YouTube, LMN, also wonderful links. All you do is have go to the search bar on YouTube, type in reincarnation's children's stories. And the ones that tell the story of having lived before, unbelievable. If we can accept children's innocence, 2 or 3 years old, they're talking of a language they never spoke in life, talking about experience of Well, my in the past life, I was a driver of a freight train, locomotive. And you know, the child 2 years old couldn't possibly make that up. You need to find these stories of how they came to you and chose you to be a mommy or the daddy, and how the God or the angels told them they couldn't stay and they had to go back. At the funeral of an elder person, we praise gratefulness of having known them and their accomplishments and family. We can stay the same at any age individual. This is very difficult. This is the last segment, everybody. Hold on here and stay with me. I am not making light of a baby's early passing. For the soul that decides on that life, knowing it will be short, will take any opportunity to feel the solidness of flesh and the comfort of love expressed through pregnancy or infanthood, meaning a child, a person, any age of spirit, will say, this life I'm going to go into, it's only going to be short term. I know we will not be born alive. We're going to be born sleeping, or I'm going to be sick and pass as an infant. That's good enough, because the emotions of the woman and the hormones and the acceptance and the gratitude and the baby shower and the love of the parents and the surrounding of the friends and family, there's a lot of love that infant soul will enjoy. It's hard to accept it because in my family I have had people's miscarriage, and you all grieve. But I have to step back when I get home. I say thank you for that soul, for allowing us to know it, to experience the love of that child that was developing, yet it was born asleep. With grief, it is often hard for people to move out of the original moments of being told of a child's death. That moment is frozen within them. So in our life, when I go back in time, we have markers, I call them. And it, each thread or thought, so a child that passes away, that has its own lifeline, own thought. That lifeline is never broken. When you have a miscarriage at 20, and I talk to you at 65 or 75, that thread of child loss of child never leaves our life. For the entire life, the thread of that life is always with us. And I can go back and say, what happened at 20? There's a lot of grief there. Oh, I had a miscarriage. You're still carrying that with you. It's very, very difficult. So that bubble in your timeline is called a marker. So if we go to a place of saying, accepting that we choose that lifetime, or that life was for the soul's experience, or for you to reconnect your past life with just a few months, as in the case of a child's death. So we have children that die at different ages. Maybe in a past life, that person took care of you. In this life, you're the parent of a child who's disabled and dies. That child is getting repaid back because that child took care of you. Now you're going to take care of him or her, no matter what age they go. I had a disabled child once tell me, he was a teenager. He said, I've come back to rest and to be loved and cared for. I had never heard that before. I went, you're kidding me, really? He says, oh yeah, this is why I've chosen to be a disabled child, to my mama. And that, in some ways, was his reward for the difficult life he had. He came back to be in a restful, loving situation. Do not minimize the importance of our disabled peoples. The most important value, that what love there was and given in exchange. The love and support you receive from all those that love the infant child, and the love and support you also receive, is sometimes that most people can get in decades. Meaning, the love you gave this infant, that infant becomes a spirit person. There are some people who do not ever get that kind of love. So this goes to a client. Videos of families caring for disabled children are on YouTube. And it's amazing to see the love and compassion and commitment these parents give to these children. The life of loving, caring, devotion, unconditional love, giving, and receiving is also what we're told we came to experience in life here. Sometimes as an elderly person once told me, that only now at the end of his life did he learn how to receive love and to express love to his family. How many of you have heard of people saying, Dad's dying, but he finally told me he loved me? His whole life, he can never express his love. And they give their love to him unconditionally, and then he can finally say that. How many times in your family have you heard people say that? He went his entire lifetime and never showed or allowed love to be given to him. And yet, here he is at the end of his life, and he finally could express it. That's what we're here for. The big L word. Life is to be loved and loved back. Can we do that with all the wars? Can we love our enemy? Can we turn the other cheek? I didn't say that. Can you love people in the field that you're fighting? I didn't say that. It's a bigger picture. And sometimes we don't have the answers. But during the death of somebody on the battlefield, they are immensely taken care of as fair people. And then sometimes you don't have to stay there. You can come back. I don't have the answers. I can only tell you what I already know and have learned. And it's hard to have so much love for you, for people, and of service. But at the end of your life, when you pass over, the first thing the angel people will tell you, the guides, well, what did you learn in that life? Did you help other people? It was all about you. I've talked to one person who had near-death experience, and he said to me, he was a young person. They said, well, you didn't do anything. You were just selfish. It was all about you. And the young man was so upset. They said, well, we wanted to set you straight. Now it's time for you to go back and be better. And that's on a YouTube. That was my client. It was a YouTube. So you need to find that story. It's of a near-death experiencer. And they said, we're letting you go back. You're going back. And he turned his life around and became a minister of this. And he came back with psychic abilities. So you will be asked, what service, what did you do to help other people? Did you love unconditionally? And did you allow yourself to be loved unconditionally? Okay, so this is a tough topic tonight, everybody. Thank you both. Really nice to see you guys. Oh, Michelle Lee. Really nice to see you guys and hear about how to understand when spirits show up, the different ways they contact us and the various things we go through with and about them. One of my favorite topics. Not that I'll be a spirit person in their future, but I'm absolutely amazed how much we don't know and could enjoy with them if we only allowed ourselves to do so.
Mm-hmm. How can people find you?
My name, Nancy Matz. There's several Nancy Matz out there. Make sure you will. Nancy Matz Psychic Medium. So it's nancymatz.com. Nancy Matz author. And over the years, my website's really old. First of all, I built it in 95. Some of the links, I went back and put the links back on. You know, every time they update, it's like your phone, it doesn't always work. But I'm updating it. My idea was to merge my two websites together. So over time, I'm going to be moving it over. Anybody in the business wants a little bit of money, call me up. Yeah. Okay, Sean.
All right. All right, guys, I'll be back on Sunday to read from Frankenstein. You know, that book has a real long title, and I just prefer to say either Mary Shelley's Frankenstein or Frankenstein. So I'll be back at 6 p.m. on Sunday Pacific to read from Frankenstein, and then we'll see what happens on Monday. You know, just like I said, I haven't had more than a day off. I'm serious. You guys don't realize that I do this on Friday. I usually send out my verifications for the show. Saturday night, I'm typing stuff up to get everything in order for you guys to see. And then Sunday, I'm working again with this. So I never really get, like, more than maybe an evening off. So I have, so next week I'm going to take at least 2 days off. And I'm going to spread it out. Okay, I'll just do every other day so that I have the time off. But, because with this extra thing I'm doing in the evening, it takes a toll. It takes a toll on my energy. So, yeah, I found that with the psychic work, I can go 3 days, three nights on, and then I need at least one night, two nights off, and then back on for 3 nights. Trying to build up my, what's the word for it?
Tell them how to find you tonight at 10:30.
Yes. So between 10:30 and 11, because we ran behind a little bit here, I'm going to go have dinner, feed my dogs. Between 10:30 and 11, head on over to TikTok if you have a TikTok account. If you don't be afraid of TikTok. TikTok's a fun place. TikTok is a never-ending see video place. I mean, it's really cool. But head over to TikTok and find California Haunts And I should pop right up. There's two California Haunts. There's a California Haunt and then a California Haunts 2, which is my backup account. You want to be on the California Haunts one. So come on over to TikTok, and I'm doing random readings. And the biggest crowd I had was Sunday. I had 3,800 people come through my chat room. 3,800. It was pretty incredible. I was exhausted, but it was incredible. So Friday, you know, so come on in and check it out. And I got a bunch of other stuff over there, too. Yes.
You talked to 50 in an hour and a half. Three card readings, everybody.
Yeah.
And now take advantage of this, because she's going to start charging really soon. Really soon. Yeah. This is an introductory.
I'm just going to charge
a few dollars. And then after a week or so, she's going to write. So if you want a reading at a good price, her make it quick.
Yeah. So, yep. Okay, guys. I will see you tonight. I keep forgetting about Sunday. Yep. I'll see you guys tonight, and I hope you have a great rest of your evening. And if you're eating dinner like me, I hope you have a great meal. And okay, have a good one.
Thumbs up, everybody. Give us some thumbs up. Okay.
Oh, but you know what? I almost clipped out without doing the end too. See that? Yeah. Show us some love. If you like the show, show us some love. I see my sister has shown us some love. Come on, the rest of you, cough it up. Show us some love. All right. See you guys later. Have a great one.